Happy Father's Day. It's good to see all of you. Oh, that's great. Hey, this year at the Vineyard, we are working our way through the New Testament book of Acts. And we're not even halfway through this this book yet, but it's already been a pretty amazing journey. In the first section of Acts, we looked at how the early disciples of Jesus got to continue this amazing thing that Jesus started, the ministry, this message of the kingdom of God. And we're also pressing into how we get to be invited into continuing that as well, even 2,000 years later. And then this month, we've been starting to dive into a new focus in our study in the book of Acts through this series that we're calling A Practical Guide to Holy Spirit-Led Community. And in this middle section of Acts, we get a glimpse of the early church and ways that they were learning to follow Jesus together. We also get these vivid examples of how they were a people on mission and that they were driven by vision. For us here at the Duluth Vineyard, we want to be that same kind of people. We want to be people on a mission, driven by vision. And so we've had a number of different ways that we've tried to communicate that and put that forward. One of those is through this purpose statement that we use like in our membership classes. We say that Duluth Vineyard, we want to develop a community of disciples of Jesus who love and experience God, who love one another, and who partner with Christ to bring healing to our world. That's a great statement, but I don't know about you, like sometimes that gets a little wordy, and so we try and have a lot of different ways. So another way that we describe our mission, our vision, is this. We say that we want to love God, love people, period. Those five words wrapping up so much of what we want to be as a church and what we want to do as a church. Well, this past week, I've actually been reflecting on another bit of vision for our church, which comes from something that God spoke to Michael Gatlin over 20 years ago as he and his wife Brenda made the move to Duluth to become the senior pastors of the Duluth Vineyard. As many of you know, for a bunch of years, Michael made his living as an artist. And so as the opportunity emerged to move up here to Duluth and begin pastoring full-time, Michael had to sort through what it would look like to make the transition from being full-time artist to full-time pastor. And in the midst of that, God spoke this powerful word to Michael. He said, "Michael, you're always going to be an artist, but I'm changing your medium. And instead of watercolors, your primary medium is now going to be people. And I'm inviting you to paint a portrait of Jesus in the Twin Ports." Paint a portrait of Jesus in the Twin Ports. That's like amazing, like a creative picture of, again, who we want to be as a church and what we want to be about. So for individuals, like when people meet us, our desire is that people wouldn't see us, they would see Jesus. When folks come to a weekend service or an event that we do here at Duluth Vineyard, we want them to experience not just a great church, but we want them to experience Jesus. And together as a church, we want to be this community that's on a mission, led powerfully by the Holy Spirit. But what does that look like? Like practically, what does that mean? Well, today we're going to dig into that question by looking at another church, a local church in the city of Antioch, getting this one picture of what Holy Spirit-led community can be like and look like. So if you want to grab a Bible underneath your chair, you can do that. We'll be on page 767 in the ones that are in your seats. Grab your favorite electronic device. And while you're turning there, I want to give you just a bit of context for the passage that we're going to read today. Because Antioch in Syria was the capital of Syria in the first century. It was also the third largest city in the Roman Empire at the time. So you might think of it as kind of like Chicago in the United States. This big city, a lot going on. It wasn't very far away from Jerusalem, but it was at least 10 times larger than Jerusalem. Much more pluralistic, much more multi-ethnic. And so all that's wrapped up in that amount of diversity, there's a lot of challenges that went with that as well. So with all that in mind, let's pick up the story in verse 19. "Now those who had been scattered by the persecution that broke out when Stephen was killed traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, spreading the word only among Jews. Now some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. News of this reached the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw what the grace of God had done, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. Now Barnabas, he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he found him, he brought him back to Antioch. And so for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. Verse 27, during the time, some prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. And one of them, named Agabus, stood up and through the Spirit predicted that a severe famine would spread over the entire Roman world. And this happened during the reign of Claudius. The disciples, as each one of them was able, decided to provide help for the brothers and sisters living in Judea. And they did this, sending their gift to the elders by Barnabas and Saul. Would you pray with me as we begin? God, thank you so much. This opportunity we can gather on this summer day, Father's Day, God, we thank you for all the dads. And Lord, we just open our hearts to both just the power of the scripture, your word to us, God, in this story from so many years ago. And also just the dynamic word of your Holy Spirit, God, to move us and to shape us and to transform us, even right now. Come, Holy Spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so again, we're asking this question, what practically does Holy Spirit community look like? What does that include? I think we see three key items in our passage today. First of all, we see that the Holy Spirit nudges us past our comfort zones. He nudges us past what is comfortable. So we've been working our way through Acts, chapter by chapter. We've been seeing how these early disciples were scattered to new places because of persecution. But in many ways, they were still sticking to what was most comfortable for them. Now look again at how today's passage begins. It says, now those who had been scattered by the persecution, they traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch. Okay, so they were scattered all over, but they were spreading the word only among Jews. These early disciples, they've been pushed past some of their comfort zones geographically, but they were still limiting their interactions to people that were just like them. I think we can do the same thing. I mean, think about it. Whenever you might enter a new setting, when you maybe move to a new neighborhood, or maybe you begin classes at a new school, or you join a group, or maybe even start attending a church, isn't it often true that we gravitate towards people that are most like us? Now, on the front end of those experiences, I mean, that's a natural sociological kind of a response. We want to feel secure, so we gravitate towards what's familiar to us. But what if we never push past that? What if that is the totality of our experience of only relating to people that are just like us? So I want to give you a little quiz here, dig a little deeper, and just have you analyze some things in your own life. So over the last 2 weeks, think about your life. Over the last 2 weeks, ask yourself, how many authentic, what I call reciprocal interactions have you had with people that are not like you? Do you remember some of those conversations? Remember some of those? Some way in that somebody's different than you. For me, as you think about that, I think about authentic interactions that I've had recently, people who are maybe racially or culturally different than me. I could remember 5 of those over the last 2 weeks. If I expand that out a little bit more to people that maybe are different than me significantly in other ways, few more, but not near as many as I would like. I think about this a lot. Like, I feel like, man, like, this is really important to me. And that was really convicting to ask myself that same question and to realize that there was a pretty limited number. How about you? How many of those took place for you over the past couple weeks? Now, you might be the exception, but I would guess the vast majority of us have a pretty small circle often where we're mostly relating to folks that are just like us. So again, the truth is, most often we're going to gravitate towards interacting with people that are very similar to ourselves. But here's something powerful that we see in today's passage. There can be surprising impact when we reach past that, when we reach past what is comfortable.
We see in verse 20 that there's this second nudge of the Holy Spirit. The first nudge came through persecution. But this second nudge, we see that some of these guys, they went to Antioch and they began to speak to the Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. And we don't get the exact details here, but something happened that a few of these early disciples responded to this nudge of the Holy Spirit, and they took a risk to reach past what was comfortable for them. They began to share with Jesus or about Jesus with people that were different with them. It might be some of those, of course, it was ethnically different or culturally different, but it was also these people that were philosophically and religiously different, that they thought differently then. And so what happened? What happened when they took that risk? Verse 21, we see a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. These disciples, they took a risk and they saw amazing results. Why was that, do you think? Why was that impact so dramatic? In one sense, I think it was the Holy Spirit's blessing. You know, the Lord's hand was with him, and this is what the Holy Spirit was pointing them towards all along. As John talked about last week, this good news, this gospel, this good news about Jesus is meant for everybody. And so each time the disciples took a risk to share with somebody new, bam, like there was the power, there was the blessing of the Holy Spirit. I mean, just over the last few weeks, we've been seeing this in our different passages that we've been looking at. Like in Acts 8, we see that Philip took a risk, and he shared with the Ethiopian, and there was the Holy Spirit's blessing. Last week in Acts 10, we saw how Peter took this humongous risk to talk to Cornelius, actually enter this guy's home, a Gentile, and share with Cornelius and his whole household about Jesus. And there, God's hand was all over it again. And then today, here in Acts 11, it's the same deal. It's like winner, winner, chicken dinner. This is the Holy Spirit's after. It's like we're trying to spread this out, not just to a limited group of people. This is meant to be for everyone. And so it's going to involve taking some risks, stepping past what's most comfortable to us, and trusting that God's going to show up. So along those lines, I think there's another reason why these risks, they had such a significant impact. It's because they needed to have this dependency on the Holy Spirit's power. Have you ever taken some big risks because God invites you into something? Like there's a fear and trepidation about that. And we're like, oh God. Like if you don't show up, God, this is not going to go well. There's this dependency on the Holy Spirit that we need when we step past what is most comfortable. I want to tell you a quick story of how I got nudged in that way a few years ago. It was a Sunday back in March of 2013, and I got into my car after our morning worship services at the Vineyard Church where we pastored in Mankato, and that particular day I was really tired. All I wanted to do was just go home, plop on the couch. If I stayed awake, that was fine, but if I fell asleep, that was even better. As I got a few blocks into my drive, I came by a small little Lutheran church that was on my way home. And I saw a few Hispanic men unloading some sound equipment in the parking lot. And as I turned the corner, I sensed this nudge from the Holy Spirit. Brian, you should turn around. You should go talk to them. And at first I resisted, but again, the Holy Spirit pressed in and said, no, Brian, you should really go and talk to these guys. And so I did. I turned my car around. I made my way into this little church. It was a short conversation. Thankfully, one of their leaders spoke really good English, and so we could communicate. And, you know, just in the 5 minutes we talked, I told them a little bit about our church, said, hey, I'm the pastor at the Vineyard Church down the way, and, you know, shared a little bit about some things that we've been starting to sort through, maybe we've got, a little bit of a heart for, you know, Hispanics and Latinos. We're not sure what to do with that. And they shared a little bit, found out that they're, this small Hispanic church that's been meeting here in this Lutheran church. And, you know, just a few minutes, nice little conversation. We said our goodbyes, and I went home. Well, little did I know that there was a lot more going on in the background ahead of that conversation. The next week, their whole congregation showed up at our Easter morning worship services at the Vineyard in Mankato. And as we talked out, as we talked more, what I found out was 2 days before I stopped into their church, they had had a prayer meeting and were asking God, like, what to do next, because they were on their last leg of meeting there at this little Lutheran church. And I'm saying, God, like, we need to know what you're doing. And God, we really want, we don't want to just have a place to meet. We want to really have like a friendship and a partnership with an English-speaking church. And here, God nudges me 2 days later, saying, Brian, turn around and go reach past what's comfortable for you and start to build a friendship with these guys. And that's exactly what happened. Long story short, 2 months later, this little Hispanic church began to share our building at the Church of Mankato. We built this great friendship, and it lasted this long stint of being able to do some really cool ministry together. You know, reaching outside of my comfort zone was not on my agenda for that particular Sunday, but it was on God's heart. And I'm so glad that I responded to that nudge of the Holy Spirit that day. You know, as I was praying about this weekend, I had the sense that many of you have already been having some of these nudges. Some of the ways that the Holy Spirit's been talking to you, he's been bringing things up for you, where he wants you to reach past maybe where you've been comfortable before. You know, I'd be encouraging you to build some relationship with people that are different than you in some way. Again, that could be that they're different ethnically or culturally from you, but also could just be, you know, different than you socioeconomically, or, you know, that they come from a different place or a different background, or that they think different than you. Whatever the case is, like God pushing you past only relating to folks that look like you and think like you. Have you sensed some of those nudges? And if God is doing that in you, here's the challenge. Like, what are you going to do next? Are you going to respond? Are you going to take that risk to step out? And can you trust that God is going to meet you in the middle of that as you do that? I think that'd be a great thing. If you're starting to sense some of that, it'd be a great thing to get some prayer about today. Okay, so again, we're looking at this question. What does it practically look like to follow the lead of the Holy Spirit? I think there's a second item that we see in today's passage. We can see that the Holy Spirit, he calls us. And what he calls us to is to disciple others. Calls us to disciple others. Now, I think calling can emerge in a number of different ways. It can look in a bunch of different fashions. Like just in this passage, we see there was a bunch of different ways that the Holy Spirit got somebody from point A to point B. We see that persecution scattered the church, and some of those people ended up in Antioch. We see that Barnabas, he actually got commissioned. He got sent by the leaders of the church in Jerusalem to specifically go to Antioch. That was part of his calling. And then third, we see that Barnabas said, like, oh, I need some help. He went to Tarsus, found this guy Saul, and brought him back to Antioch with him. And that was how Saul actually was able to engage in some of that calling right there in Antioch, but also develop this call to become the apostle to the Gentiles for years and years after that. So calling, it can emerge in a bunch of different ways. And calling to make disciples isn't just for people who do ministry for their job. It's for all of us. You know, maybe for you, some of your primary calling right now, you know, it's Father's Day. You know, maybe like some of your primary calling is to disciple your kids. It could be in your neighborhood. Maybe you have a calling in your workplace. I was talking to a friend last night that started a Bible study at his job, and he's just building relationships with folks there at his work, and once a week they get together for lunch on Friday, and they're engaging with God and the scriptures. You know, maybe it could be with a close friend that you get together with on a regular basis. Your calling towards discipleship could mean, you know, plugging into some of the structured ministries that we have here at the Vineyard. You know, really excited. We're going to be revamping some of the things this fall that we're doing with our Mentoring Disciples program. And not only doing that with some of the college students, but also folks that just got baptized. And so, man, what would that be like for you if you could walk alongside somebody that's just given their life to Jesus, just taking this step to be baptized, and now you get to help them work out what it means to follow Jesus day by day? Or maybe it's, you know, with students or with kids. Whatever the case is, all of us have been given this calling to make disciples, to be disciples, to pass that along. I'm going to share another quick story about some friends of mine that have been sorting through this nudge of the Holy Spirit and, responding to calling. I was emailing with these friends again this week that they live near one of the reservations in northern Wisconsin. And for some time, they've been sensing God's calling to build some relationship with the folks in and around their community and to look for opportunities to share about Jesus with them. And so it's been really cool to see how God has been continuing to bless the steps, like progressively over the last number of months that they're doing this. Just this past week, this is so cool, two more women put their faith in Christ through these outreaches. And all of that just coming out of this one family, just responding to this nudge, this leading of the Holy Spirit to say, step out of your comfort zone. Begin to build some relationship. And look for opportunities to share Jesus with those around you. So again, I mean, calling, it can come in a number of different ways. We're all called to this process of discipleship, but what does that entail? I think there's some really cool clues that we get in today's passage. First of all, we see that discipleship, it includes meeting together. I know these days, a lot of folks will say, I don't really need church to be a Christian. I can just follow Jesus just fine on my own. Now, maybe you've thought that. Maybe you've heard people that have said that. But friends, that notion is completely opposite of what we see in the New Testament. Real discipleship, biblical discipleship, happens in the midst of relationship, in real lives together. I love how one of our current small group leaders describe it. My friend Joshua writes, here at the Vineyard, the process of discipleship is life on life, face to face, and hand in hand. Discipleship, it happens when we get together, when we meet with one another. Discipleship also includes teaching. So such a key component of growing as a disciple of Jesus. And so in this passage, verse 26, we see that Barnabas and Saul, they spent an entire year teaching these new believers in Antioch. As you read through the whole of the New Testament, you see this over and over again, that the teaching is at the heart of discipleship. Think back to Jesus' commissioning of the early disciples in Matthew 28. One of the things that he included in that, he says, teach these new disciples how to obey all that I've commanded you. Later in 2 Timothy 2, Paul writes to Timothy, he says, Timothy, you've heard me teach these things and that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Now here's what I want you to do. You teach these truths to other trustworthy people who then will be able to pass them on to others. Such a key component. I mean, growing as a follower of Jesus, it includes spiritual stuff and like powerful things, but it also includes learning. Like we need our minds to be renewed. We need that to happen so that we can be transformed. I think discipleship also includes encouragement. So we need support, we need people around us. But this word encouragement that shows up here, there's actually even a little bit more that goes into it than just being like supportive and nice to one another. Literally what this stands for is that Barnabas was exhorting. He was entreating. He was like compelling, like from his gut, like, guys, stay true to the Lord. This is the most important thing ever. And so he's encouraging them, he's exhorting them to stay on this path. And then finally, I think discipleship involves modeling. It's been said that following Jesus is as much caught as it is taught. So teaching is important, but also we need to like see this lived out in people's lives. And so I love how Luke, the author of Acts, includes this little snippet about Barnabas in verse 24. It says, Barnabas was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith. Now, how did Luke know that? Now, likely what we see here is there's a pretty good likelihood that Luke was actually one of these new believers in Antioch. And so if that's true, he got to see firsthand the life of Barnabas, Barnabas living out what it meant to be a follower of Jesus, that he was full of faith and full of the Holy Spirit. And so Luke got discipled by that, and eventually he actually teamed up with Paul and traveled extensively with Paul, and he got to see Paul's example. Like Paul would say, follow me as I follow Christ. That Luke learned how to follow Jesus by the modeling that both Barnabas and Paul were showing him. So I want to pause for a moment. I want you to look at the four items up there, and I want you to think about your life. A couple different directions. One, do you have regular rhythms where you've got other people that are pouring like these four items into your life? You know, showing you, you know, where you're meeting together, where you're receiving teaching, you're being encouraged. There's this modeling that's happened for you to help grow more and more as a disciple of Jesus. And then on the flip side, do you have regular occurrences where you're doing this for other people? You know, helping them to grow as disciples of Jesus. Now, there are ways that those things can happen at a larger gathering like we're doing this morning, you know, here at a large worship service. You know, right now you're listening to me teach. You've got the opportunity to encourage one another as we, you know, gather together today. And, you know, we can have a chance to see modeled what it looks like to follow Jesus. But here's the deal, folks. You are not going to get everything that you need for following Jesus in the 90 minutes that you're in this building this morning. We need to have these other ways that God is stirring in our lives and growing us as followers of Jesus. And I think that's one of the reasons why I'm so passionate about what we do in things like small groups. Long before overseeing small groups was part of my job, you know, for 20, 30 years now, I've been able to see the impact of small groups in my life and the lives of others. How transformation has come as we go at these foundational, these key items of discipleship week by week in small groups. So like here at the Vineyard this summer, we've got over 30 different groups that you can be a part of, connect with, and go at some of these key foundational items. Now, these are just a couple weeks in. There's a couple of our groups that are a little bit more focused or are healing-oriented that have already kind of got their group, and they're going to move forward with that. But almost all the other groups are able to integrate new people. And so I want to give you a little bit of like my Barnabas, not just like be nice encouragement, like the entreating, the encouragement to you. If you're not in a small group, man, like check out, like pull out one of the booklets out there. Find some place that you can be able to connect in these exact ways so that you can continue to grow as a follower, as a disciple of Jesus. And in addition to some of those structured things like small groups, maybe, again, you can gather together with a friend or two over coffee, over lunch, and just have this regular engagement, encouraging and pointing at each other towards Jesus and following him even more closely. Does that make sense? Awesome. So here's the last thing. Third key item we see in Antioch about being led by the Holy Spirit. We see that the Holy Spirit empowers us to live and lead like Jesus. Holy Spirit empowers us to live and lead like Jesus. You know, I love how Luke inserts these little nuggets of commentary in the midst of his account here in the book of Acts. And probably my favorite one from this passage comes at the end of verse 26. Or Luke writes that the disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. This is the first place this name, Christian, was used for people that follow Christ. Evidently, these believers were so consistent in speaking about Christ and patterning their lives after Christ that they literally became known as little Christs. Now, it's pretty likely that this was actually, in many ways, a put-down. but whatever the case is, it was absolutely clear to anyone around Antioch what was at the core of these believers' lives. Their lives were centered on Christ, and so they became known as Christians. And so for centuries, this word, Christian, is communicated
a lot of positive qualities, often embodying the sacrificial generosity that we see at the end of our passage today in these Antioch believers.
But also with that, unfortunately today, many people in wider society will equate the term Christian with being things like a hypocritical bigot or a self-righteous jerk. That can be difficult to run up against. But thankfully, friends, we don't have to defend this title Christian or even like Christianity. Our ultimate job is to follow Jesus. Our ultimate job is to like press in to centering our lives on Jesus. And what people might think or say about us, that's their deal. I think there's also something we can be grateful for. Now, while it's true that Christians in America often get a bad rap, here's something I've found. I've been up here in Duluth about 18 months now, and so it's been pretty regular that I still get in conversations where people find out that I'm new to town, and like, well, what do you do? What brought you here? And when I talk about like, oh, hey, I'm on staff at the Vineyard, overwhelmingly, like, this is the reaction I get. Man, like, I have heard so many great things about your church. I have a friend that goes to the Vineyard. They're a really great person. And over, these ways that we've been pressing in to loving God and loving people like Jesus, like, that seems to be sticking. Like, that's the word on the street and around the Twin Ports about what we're trying to go at as followers of Jesus. And that hasn't just been from like church-going folks. Like, I've run into people that are totally secular, like no interest in like Jesus-y things at all, but somehow they recognize like you guys like do kind of Jesus stuff there. Isn't that cool? Again, it seems like this vision to love God, love people, period, has sunk in. And so I just wanted to say this for some of you, like a bunch of you that have been around a long time, like you've been logging this for decades here. I just want to say thank you. Holy cow. Like, thank you for helping create this amazing community that gets to reflect Jesus here in the Twin Ports. And like just to be a part of that, like, it's such a privilege. And I'm super, super grateful to be able to part of that. And also, like, maybe you're newer to our church. Maybe this is your first time here today, or maybe you've just been starting to check this out. You know, the series of messages that we're in right now has a lot of vision in it. Like, we want to share with you, like, this is who we are. This is what we want to be about. And if you're checking things out here, like, we would love to have you be a part of this, to be in with us on this journey of, like, trying to figure out what it means to follow Jesus together, having our lives changed by him, and then just like going and trying to make a difference, bringing healing to our world through following Jesus together. I think for all of us, like, I mean, this is an amazing legacy. Like, this is a treasure that we get to steward with great care, as well as, I think God like has even more for us. Like, even as that we've built like this really good equity in our city, in our area, that we can press even further into this, and that we can become even more and more this portrait of Jesus to the people, to our community at large. Along those lines, here's what I do as we close the message today. I want to pull up Michael's painting again and have us spend just a few moments reflecting on a couple questions. I don't know if you can read that or not, but what Michael did was he did this watercolor of a paintbrush, and below it, it says, "Paint in my life a portrait of Jesus." If you don't leave with anything else today, that's a really good prayer to take home today. Just say, God, like, would you just paint in my life? Paint in my life a portrait of Jesus. And when folks, I'm at work, when I'm in my neighborhood, when I'm at the grocery store, God, would people not see me? Would I not give them my brokenness? But would they see, would they experience something of the real life of Jesus in and through my life? And so as we close here, I want to just have you reflect a little bit. You know, all of us have these spots where we don't reflect Jesus. What are some of those for you? And how can you like bring those to God and just say, God, I want your change. I want to be transformed in these ways that right now, like, I'm just exhibiting a whole bunch of my brokenness rather than the nature of Jesus. Some of the things I so love about how we go about things in our community. Like, there's so much grace for us to, like, have ways that we're just not, we don't have it figured out yet. But we can come to God. We can press into those things. And we can do even courageous things. Like, this is a scary word, but it's actually a word of freedom. Like, we can repent. We can turn away from those things that right now are not reflecting Jesus to those around us, that are not being good for us even. But we can say, God, would you help me? Would you forgive me? Will you free me? So that's the first thing. What ways, like right now, do you want to see like more of a reflection of Jesus in your life that isn't currently happening? And then secondly, coming back to where we started this morning, who around you is maybe God calling you to be that picture, that portrait of Jesus too? Who do you have influence with? Who is God wanting you to maybe take a risk towards building some relationship, taking some steps maybe to share that or model some things about what it means to follow Jesus? I think if we get some answers with that, we get some traction, there can be some really good things to fuel us this very week as we try and figure out, like, what does it mean to be this community of Holy Spirit-led people following Jesus with all of our hearts? Amen. Amen. Why don't you go ahead and stand? We're going to just engage with God and transition into some ministry time. And I think that even some of those questions can bring up some really good things for us to be able to engage with God right now. So Holy Spirit, would you just come? Thanks for the ways that you've been present with us already today. God, we just want to pray this prayer. God, would you paint in each one of our lives a portrait of Jesus? God, we don't want to live into or out of our broken places. God, we want to be transformed by you and to reflect Jesus to everybody that's around us, bringing your life and your healing wherever we go. So God, would you even just dialing up for us into our minds those things that you're inviting us to experience your transformation about. Yeah, thank you, Lord. God, thanks for even like redeeming that concept of repentance, that we can turn away, we can put down things that have been destructive to us or to others. And then we can look to you to really change us. Now we also just invite you to be bringing people to mind, God, that you've placed in our lives. Could be from so many different directions. But God, that you want us to be a picture, a portrait of Jesus too in some way. We need your help with that, God. But we want to step in. We want to step past what's been comfortable for us and take those risks. So would you give us courage, God? Give us courage. Yes, Lord. Thank you, God. Would you just open up your heart to God? I just want to invite the ministry team to come forward. We're going to just make available a chance for you to receive some prayer before you leave today. You can bring any of those things about, you know, things that God's starting to dial up for you, of transformation that you long to see, like ways that you want to reflect more of Jesus in your life. You know, you might not even have a framework for reaching past, where you've been comfortable before. That could be a great thing to receive prayer about. Like, God, like, I don't even have like a picture of this. Like you can come and ask God to help you with that. But also like any needs that you have, physical needs, financial needs, if you're going through some rough stuff in relationships, you're just dealing with some hard stuff, man, bring those things before the Lord. These folks would just love to join with you in that. They don't have all the answers, but we can come to the one that does, and we can just join together and look into Jesus and follow in him together. So the band's going to continue to lead us in some more worship. I encourage you to engage in that. Come up and get some prayer, and hope you enjoy the rest of your Father's Day weekend. God bless you.